Hey everybody, welcome to Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. This week we're traveling across the pond to talk to the UK's own sales marvel, Keith Rozelle. Right off the bat, he'll share with you why he's called the sales marvel. The globe is getting to be a smaller place each and every day. Tools such as LinkedIn connect our global business community and give us ways to share ideas and lessons that we used to have to actively seek out. That's how I actually was introduced to Keith. Keith offered a tutorial called LinkedIn Brilliant Basics. The title interested me, so I signed up. And I'll tell you, what I found was some really good information and a collection of people that were eager to learn something new. Most of them were seasoned sales professionals such as myself, and it turned out to be a great global networking opportunity on top of being something that I had an opportunity to learn from. Keith is a mentor, a coach, a writer, a consultant, a resource, and so many more things to so many more people. To sum it all up, he's a sales marvel. Enjoy my conversation with Keith Rozelle. Let's jump right into it. Keith, thank you so much for joining me.
Great pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, Jesse.
So before we jump into anything, can you tell my audience what Sales Marvel is and what you guys do?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Well, first of all, we're business-to-business sales and marketing solutions. We do strategy, outsourcing, and training. And our predominant media is using LinkedIn.
Very good. And if people can't tell by your eloquent accent, you are located where?
I'm in a beautiful and ancient city of York, the old one, not the new one, and about 180 miles north of London. And it is a beautiful day. Not quite Florida, but it is a beautiful day today.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
And may I, Jesse, just go into, why it's called Sales Marvel?
Please do.
2015. So when I was on Canary Wharf selling tech to investment banks, I was known. And Canary Wharf is just a big square, really, smaller than 1 acre. All the big US banks are there. I was known as Mr. Marvelous locally. And because I'm relentlessly upbeat and optimistic, and I genuinely feel thankful for so many things. And that there is a solution around almost everything. Nothing to do with Black Widow or Spider-Man or anything like that. And in 2015, when I had this idea, I'm going to start my own firm. I'm going to call it Sales Marvel because of my past. So Marvelous, that's what it's kind of short for. But that was before I knew anything about search engine optimization. So it's taken about 7 years to appear on Google's front page for search, because I'm battling against Spider-Man and Black Widow every single day. So that's the backstory.
That's such a great point. I didn't even think about that, but that would be absolutely challenging when you're trying to take on Disney.
Yes, absolutely.
I appreciate you sharing that so much. So I think that kind of, it brings me to one of my points. And one of the reasons why I was very happy to have you on is that today's market has become incredibly global. The world is a much smaller place than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it really has. And since the pandemic, we have all realized how interconnected. Actually, it's not just the pandemic, but global IT outages and payment systems that have gone down. The Visa network went down a few months ago. I don't know if you heard about that, but Amazon was unable to process payments. And all of a sudden, the whole world realizes that we are all interconnected. There's a really big risk out there. So, yes, you're absolutely right.
And no doubt. I mean, I feel like I have packages showing up to my house every single day, and I'm not sure who orders them all.
Well, I've got a story for another time, but games.
So we'll take a I'd like to take a step back because I'd like to talk about you before we dive into sales Marvel. Tell me a little bit about where you got started. How did you discover that you had a passion for sales and marketing?
So I started out as an engineer when I left school.
Okay.
If I
Big
may say
change there.
sorry.
That's a big change between being an engineer and a salesperson.
There really is, and there aren't often, there aren't many pivotal moments in your career, but this is one of them. I can probably count on one hand, and I have got all my fingers. I can probably count on one hand the number of really pivotal moments that happened in one's career, and I've had a 35-year career, but this was one. So I started as an apprentice engineer with BT, which is the UK version of AT&T, right?
Okay.
And about 2 years into the 3-year program, my boss said to me, "Keith, I just need to have a quick word." Now, if ever your boss or someone you really respect says that to you, you're kind of thinking, "Oh my goodness, what's happening next?" And he said to me, "Keith, I've got to know, you are much better at working with people than you are with hardware." So that was my entree to that was a very polite way of saying, "Keith, engineering is not for you. No matter how much you love it, it's really not for you. We have this thing over here called customer services group. I'm going to put you over there." And it was honestly, it was one of the few, it was one of the best things that ever happened. I'm eternally grateful for that moment. And as I say, you don't get many of those in a career.
No doubt, but you also probably got a lot of invaluable experience being on the engineering side. Successful or unsuccessful, like that really translates into a different perspective, a unique perspective as a salesperson or as a customer service professional.
Yeah, it's a good chat, actually. And you really do, as an engineer, and you go around all the different groups. I did everything from putting cables under the ground. In fact, in 1 6-week period, we put cables under the sea. So it was really
Oh, wow.
interesting, literally, how stuff hangs together and gets connected together. And that was a really, really useful background. It helps you to have really useful conversations with customers. And I have been extremely fortunate over that career to be involved in lots and lots of different sales from different types of stuff, costing, high volume, low cost, like gym memberships or broadband, right up to big software outsourcing deals over $1 billion and pretty much everything in between.
So that being said, how do you feel? Do you feel that sales is one of those things to where it's really the same animal in every single industry? Or do you feel like depending on what industry you're in, sales can look very different?
Well, it depends. You can work for several different companies in the same industry, and it can feel like a totally different world almost, where multiple different cultures going on. And of course, in the modern day, in the present tense, when you think of sales, someone's automatically going to think of the Wolf of Wall Street and think that's what all companies and all sales teams are like. Now, I have to say, when that story is set back in the 1980s, it was uncomfortably close to the truth for a lot of sales organizations, whether it be Wall Street or Threadneedle Street in London. Lots of sales organizations were like that. But today, sales is so much more. So much more different, so much more intellectual, if you like. It's not about swinging from the chandeliers or whatever the phrase is. It's about trust and it's about integrity. And it's also about education as well, because as experienced as I am at selling my services and you selling your services, Jesse. The person opposite the table, these days, the other side of the screen, is probably not as experienced about buying, and they don't really know what the issues are. So we have a dual role, which is as the sales interface, but also we're educating as well. And I think that's manifestly how it's changed. But actually, the principles of selling have stayed remarkably similar over the years.
No doubt. Well, and I figure I do believe that in today's world, you know, whether it's people like Jeffrey Gittimer saying that people like to buy, they don't like to be sold, or, you know, people really do have a tremendous amount of resources at their fingertips to educate themselves, whether it's good information or bad information. That's a totally different discussion, but they do have the opportunity to either verify or challenge what we say as salespeople. So the foot that you put forward has to be genuine. It has to be truthful. Whereas I think back in the 80s or back in the 70s, you know, people could say whatever they felt like. It was the wild, wild west, because you were out there and you were, if people trusted you or if they didn't trust you, you were still the only expert that they were seeing in your field.
Yeah.
Today, they've got an expert in their fingertips. They can pull up their phone. They can Google you. They can Google your company. They can Google your product. And so you really do have to have a totally above board approach in today's world, in my opinion, versus what really you could do whatever you felt like in the 1980s.
I think that's a really good shout. You can get found out really easily these days. And therefore, don't put anything out there that isn't that's going to get you found out. There is enough business going on in the world for you to do good business as opposed to bad business. Somebody once said, a British person, I can't remember the name, I think it was Lord Weinstock, back in the 1950s, if there's one thing worse than no business, it's bad business. And that's the values I live and breathe today. If it's not quite right, if we can't persuade them to buy what we have for the right reasons, we need to walk away with respect and our integrity and brand reputation intact.
No doubt. I always feel like when I'm sitting in front of a customer or when I'm talking to somebody, even if I'm not the answer, my goal is to know what the answer is. And so even if it's passing them to somebody else who I think that can help them much better than I can, to me, then I'm gonna improve my reputation with that customer. They're gonna trust me more. They're not gonna trust me less.
It's a really good shout, and I think as business people, as salespeople, we have a responsibility, if you like. Because my blog is, by the way, it's called "Sales is a Dirty Word," and in the United Kingdom, at least, sales is a dirty word. We don't generally have salespeople; we call it business development instead. So we're not actually referencing sales, but I'm comfortable with the word sales. And you're absolutely right. We absolutely need to preserve integrity and leave people with a positive experience of having, you know, dealt with a salesperson, because that will get them coming back to you because they've had a good experience, even if they don't buy on that occasion.
No doubt. I actually walked into a Fortune 100 company. This was probably six years ago now. And I was actually told, we don't use the word sales anymore. Sales is a bad word. So it's happening in the United States as well. Business development is the word soup of the day, if you will, as well. But I think that sales is, you know, to me, it's one of those things to where, if you're not afraid to use the word, it's something, like you said, every single business, it's sales is a function that you have to have. So that being said, you've been running your company now for 7 years, since almost eight, going on 8 years this year, correct?
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about the start of it. How did you guys get started? Like what was it in 2015 that made you decide to go out there, hang your own shingle and start your business?
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think it's probably been in the back of my mind for a long, long time that I wanted to do that. I spent most of my corporate career working on Canary Wharf, working with selling technology into investment banks. And then there just came a point, it wasn't a deadline to reach, but just a decision came about that actually, you know, the stars were lining up, if that's the right expression. I had a pretty good Rolodex or, you know, black, you know, kind of contact database these days. And I really wanted to go out and work with not just Fortune 100 firms, which are really, really important. But actually, the average size company where I am now in New York isn't thousands of people. It's four people. That's the average size company. And people like, you know, companies like that don't have access to, you know, expensive sales training resources. And
very true.
They're 51% of the UK economy. So, you know, if I can, you know, I'm no Steve Jobs, but if I can make some kind of dent in the UK part of the universe, then I would really like to do that.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, and you said it in the beginning of this, the beginning of our conversation, but it's, you really are focusing on technology. You're focusing on LinkedIn and you're focusing on utilizing technology for sales.
Yeah. So in fact, I had this conversation with a prospective client just this morning that actually sales since 1988 and the modern day, nothing actually has changed that much. Yes, we're very connected. We've had that discussion. But actually, it's about getting your message in front of the right customer at the right time. Now, it's just back in 1988, I was walking around a business park and knocking on doors and picking up a piece of paper with the company's details on and who's the decision maker. You know, fast forward 35 years, we're still doing that. We're getting the right message in front of the right person at the right time. But these days we're doing it through LinkedIn or maybe it's phones or, you know, whatever it happens to be. But still, the principles are still the same. But because there's a dizzying array of ways that we can do that, WhatsApp. The only thing I'm not on these days is Snapchat. And I leave that one to my children. But I am on TikTok. And that's an amazing source of leads. Won't go into that. But LinkedIn is the mainstay of how to approach people. There are different ways to do that. But we won't go into that. But that is absolutely using the tools of the day, the most efficient way of using tools for me. But also, we all have our own different communications preferences. Some people prefer email, although I have to say they're probably in the minority with the amount of email that's flying around these days. Other people prefer a text message to their phone or a phone call or whatever it is. It's our job as salespeople to figure out the best way to get a message in front of our ideal customer.
No doubt. Well, in full disclosure, the way that you and I got connected for this interview is you actually put out an offer for people to join a kind of it was a kind of an intro to LinkedIn selling, like selling on LinkedIn or kind of the basics, the 101, if you will, for LinkedIn. And so I joined and I was curious to hear what your message would be. And I thought you had a tremendous amount of great tips and talking points for people of how to structure their message on LinkedIn, how to structure their profile. And so that's what motivated me to ask you to join my show. So I'm very grateful that you had the opportunity to join, but I also think that it's a message that would benefit a tremendous amount of people. There's really, you know, whether you're an individual on LinkedIn or if you're a company and you're trying to get your employees to have a certain image on LinkedIn or, you know, get out a certain message, I thought it was invaluable. So if, you know, kudos to you for offering it, but it's also, it's very timely. It's something that people need to hear.
That's really kind of you. Thank you. Yeah, it's something I really enjoy doing. You know, there's a way to do these things, and that's part of my, there's a few things. Number one, I do it for free for different various reasons, because some people just who are just starting out have no budget to speak of. That's something that they can just kind of join and get some hints and tips. But also it's my shop window, it's what I do. And so there's a way, just like you with your podcast just now, it's a great way to communicate with your ideal customer profile without, as you say, forcing it down their throats. It's very easy to join in, to listen in background and get some hints and tips. And there's a recording afterwards as well. And I love the engagement with people, as you probably figured. So thank you for that.
No doubt. Well, and I tell you, I got a question for you. Probably the last 6 months, the people that I talk to, no matter what the industry, AI has become a buzzword. You know, automation has become something to where you got a lot of people that'll say, if you're not automating, you're behind the times. But when you start looking at things like LinkedIn and engaging with potential customers or potential relationships, what value do you assign to automation or to artificial intelligence within that space today?
Well, it's very timely, and I suspect it's a different answer from everyone, but I think we should embrace these things. AI, there is going to be some good that comes out of that. I'll tell you one thing that absolutely has become my new personal assistant, my virtual assistant. So I use AI on a few of my software tools because what I found is that I'm okay writing two or three bullet points for the what are the messages I want to land with this particular LinkedIn post or whatever it happens to be. But filling out the other 150 words of filler to present those messages, that's what I really struggle from a blank piece of paper to a completed LinkedIn post. And I've struggled with mental health. I hope you don't mind me mentioning that.
Not at all.
Which is one of the considerations in terms of working for myself, just to kind of take some of that corporate stress out of it. That's in the mix, not the sole thing. But it has really helped me go from a state of overwhelm where it would take me 6 hours, literally 6 hours, to create a post. Whereas now it's 20 minutes because the three bullet points I can get to, I want to say this, this, and this, and that's really important. But how to package it, AI does in seconds. And I'm not taking someone's job, although no doubt people are fearful their jobs will be lost. What is able, it's really 10x, I hate that expression, but anyway, it's 10x my productivity when it comes to creating a LinkedIn post. So I think we should kind of embrace these things. We shouldn't be fearful. And I absolutely. Now, what I would say is, just as a counteract to that, I listened to a fantastic radio program. We have someone in the United Kingdom, as you know, we do a few things a little differently here. We have someone called the Poet Laureate.
Okay.
Which is at the time, it would have been the late Queen's personal poet, the poet of the nation. And it's uniquely British, I'm sure. And the Poet Laureate, Simon Armitage, was asked on radio, only a couple of months ago, what do you think about AI? Because they had produced a poem using AI. And his response, and it's a direct response, it is reassuringly awful. And I love that, because now, was it a complete waste? No, there was something there. And so with those words that I just talked to you about using AI, I go back into it and I change the language, because as a people person, I can tell when a message has been automated and when there's an actual human that's written it. Now, maybe there's a point in time which AI will get over that. Maybe. I don't know. But I can tell. And if I've got an automated message, it's going to get deleted straight away. And my potential customers, I'm guessing, are just as good with written communications as I am. They will note that as well. So it's got to be personalized and personal, and it's got to be human. And that's
no doubt.
That's how we'll differentiate ourselves. Sorry, that was a long answer to a short question.
No, it was great. And I think that, I've heard several people say it, but I think it's a great quote. It's, when people are afraid of their job being taken by artificial intelligence, it's not artificial intelligence that's going to take your job or usurp your production. It's going to be the person that uses artificial intelligence well that would be able to take your job. So I think what you're saying is spot on. And I also think there's a huge difference between prose and art. I have been approached on my LinkedIn profile on other various forms of social media, you can tell that it's artificial intelligence or that it is a bot that is trying to have a conversation with you. And I found that there are companies that are trying to just educate their bots by attempting to have conversations with people about nothing in particular, but just to have the back and forth dialogue with a human being so that it can learn and correct itself.
And that is a big area of research. And in fact, I have a client who's, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but is doing a lot of work into how to humanize bots, as you just mentioned.
Right.
She's not, in fact, just last night, there was a firm in Texas, and I can't remember who that was, but they were talking about how to read minds using AI. So that's something that, crikey, I hope no one reads my mind, but
I'd be in trouble.
yeah, absolutely, yeah, okay. But this, who knows? And it was down to human ethics. I think that was the point you were trying to get to. Are we in control of the AI, or is the AI in control of us? And that will be the big philosophical debate for generations, I'm sure.
No doubt. Well, I think, just to get back to our original point with this, as far as selling online or selling utilizing technology and utilizing tools that we have today that we didn't have 20, 30 years ago, I think that, if people have the attitude that these are tools, these are all things to where it gives you more avenues, more opportunities to connect with people in the way that they want to be connected with, as you said before, I think that if you have that attitude about it, if you're open to it, and if you decide what works for you and what works for your customers, then I think there's no way that you can lose as far as it's not a, because none of it's a negative. It's all a potential positive.
Absolutely. As you say, it's about choices. It's about understanding your market, how your market, what res how receptive it is to certain messages, and that's where the expertise, the informed salesperson will know how to go about that market. And that's how I approach client projects as well. The fact that they expect me to. Yeah, know more than them about how to do this.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, why are we talking to you?
So that being said, if my audience, if anybody out there is interested in getting in touch with you, and if they want to learn more about, improving their presence on, on LinkedIn or any other platform, or if they would like, just to pick your brain and see if there's a, a good reason for the two of you guys to work together, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly find me on LinkedIn and DM me there. I'm spelling my surname is Rozelle, Rozelle, or if in the United Kingdom, Z. Or you can get a hold of me via email, which is Marvel, Marvel, at salesmarvel.co.uk.
I Keith, I want to thank you again for joining the show, and I hope that I can, have you back on the show to talk about other things as we go on.
Would love to do that. Thank you for having me. If anyone from your audience wants to reach out, say hi, if you've got a sales point that you would really like a bit more information on, then I would really love to hear from you. And I appreciate your having me on the show, Jesse. Thank you.
No doubt, no doubt. Talk to you soon.
Look forward to it. Take care. All the best.
Well, I'll tell you, I really enjoyed being able to bring you that interview with Keith. If you're interested in getting better at utilizing LinkedIn, Keith has some great tips and suggestions. Check out his LinkedIn page. You won't regret it. That's going to wrap us up for today. I appreciate you tuning in. I'll catch you guys next time.